Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. Ann Burke is retiring later this month after 26 years as Director of Urban Ministries of Wake County. Under her leadership, the organization has provided food, shelter, and medical care for countless numbers of Wake County residents with nowhere else to turn for help. Burke joins us now to talk about her decision to retire and the work left to do in the battle against poverty in North Carolina. Well, Ann, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me once again.
So it's a little bit of a bittersweet interview. You're saying goodbye to your longtime position after 26 years. Why?
It's time. You know, sometimes you just know when it's time. And it's time to step aside and let somebody else come in and carry on a different vision and take the agency to a new place, I think.
You've had a lot of time to think about this. I'm sure you have a lot more time. But to sort of reflect about the 26 years and where we are now, where are we in terms of helping people who really need basic needs in life?
Oh, my. I'd like to say that things were so much better, but things aren't much better for the folks that we serve. You know, and they won't ever get better until the economy really improves and they have an opportunity to earn a living wage and pay for the things they need to pay for. But these are folks that suffer no matter, it seems, how the economy is doing.
Certainly the organization you've led so well for 26 years has made a big difference. I mean, what was it like when you started?
Oh, we were baby agency. You know, we just had some food bags on the shelves and a little bit of money in the bank that we, you know, used to help people pay rent and things. You know, and today we're really addressing the whole healthcare issue, which for us, again, as an organization, will change dramatically with the Affordable Care Act and how we address those needs. But, you know, we've grown with the need in the community as the population in this area has increased. The number of people who need help has increased, and, you know, we've tried to respond to that over the years.
Could you have dreamed 26 years ago that you would provide all the services that you provide?
No, we were naive. We really thought, you know, homelessness would get better because people would listen and we'd put money into housing, and, you know, we just thought things would get better for people. But in fact, we've seen so much more need in recent years. It's sort of heartbreaking.
What has been the biggest change over that time in terms of what you see?
We've seen the biggest change in healthcare and the demand for access, people not having access to healthcare other than, you know, going to the emergency room when they're really, really sick. But at our clinic, we're finding that people with chronic illnesses who have gone for many, many years without care or consistent care are quite disabled. And so those are the patients that we're seeing. And I think that was something I didn't even understand as an issue. People without insurance, what they need is not a doc in the box. What they need is a medical home where somebody can monitor and help them manage their chronic illnesses like diabetes and hypertension and heart disease and all the things that afflict the patients that we serve.
You also have a place where women can stay when they're in crisis.
We do. We have a women's program called the Helen Wright Center for Women, and it's a shelter for women, 36 beds. And most of our women come in right off the street or from other institutions or other shelters, and they're very challenged. They have a lot of issues that they're dealing with. But our goal there is to help them rebuild their lives. And that's going to become even more difficult with legislation coming down from HUD now. We want to reduce the amount of time people have in shelters to get them into housing. I agree with the concept in theory, but it's hard to get folks into housing when they still don't have an income and they're not stable. And then how do they maintain that housing? That's very difficult. How do they even find it?
Have you seen a change? I guess it has probably gone back and forth, but in terms of how the larger community views people who are struggling and need your help?
We've actually not suffered the way some agencies have these past few years because the arts agencies and things, I think, have suffered more in terms of donations. Donations have remained steady. They haven't grown, but they've remained steady. We haven't lost a base of donors, really. Some of our congregations are not in the best position to donate the way they have been in the past, but largely because a lot of their members are not working and not donating money to the church. But really and truly, I think people in the community have an understanding that there is real need, and if they're going to give their dollars somewhere, they're going to give it to a place that is touching that need.
When you're waking up every day and helping women who are in crisis or families who are hungry or somebody who needs to see a doctor and needs a medical home, as you mentioned, and then you hear the current state of the political debate, what goes through your mind?
Well, I think some of them need a little reality check. From my perspective, I think that the focus on moral issues is the wrong focus for us to take. We have to take a position on jobs, getting people jobs, getting them employed. And there are lots of ways that we can do that. And I just think that it's been hard going through this political debate to understand that no one's really talking about the needs of children. Nobody's really talking about the needs of poor people. And that's a discussion that has to become a public discussion. So there's some public will around changing things as that the things that are in place now to make life better for people.
Is it discouraging when you hear, you know, that rhetoric, some of the presidential debate, the makers versus the takers, or even the 47%, or people, you know, a guy who just got elected to the state legislature who wishes we had never had unemployment insurance in the first place. And it just feels a little bit like we still want to blame people.
I think it's disgusting. I really do. I think it's disgusting. I think the conversation around food stamps becoming the new welfare. Have you ever been hungry? You know, that's what I'd like to say. Have you ever faced your children across the table and realized there's nothing to put on the table to eat? And these are families that live in our community. They live in every community across this country. And food stamps have become a lifeline for them, especially during this time of unemployment. And how in the world do you expect someone to live without some kind of protection of unemployment insurance? It's not as if you're not wealthy if you're on unemployment. You know, you're really rather poor. Your circumstances change dramatically when you go on unemployment. You're at about a third of your income. So your whole life changes. And it's not about people taking advantage of getting money, being takers, if you will. It's about people trying to survive circumstances that are beyond their control. So I think that argument has no value.
What else would you say to policymakers if they ask you, how do we address this fundamental problem of poverty that you see every day?
Well, you know, poverty is addressed when, one, people have enough resources to pay for their needs. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about having the resources you need to pay for the things you need in this society, and housing being one of those. And it's the major concern of people of low income is where can they live and how can they afford to live? Housing costs are still high for them. There's very little subsidized available housing for your average person. There's just nothing. The housing authority is not an option. And I think people think there's a safety net of housing out there, but there really is not. And then income is the other issue. How in the world can they survive on $8 an hour? And then you have employers that will cut you back from 40 hours to 30 hours a week, you know, in order to save some money. And you just can't live like that and survive in this society. So it's a matter of income, and it's a matter of what things cost, the basic things that people need to live.
What kept you going for 26 years?
I don't know, except to tell you that I have never once felt that it wasn't the place for me to be, that there was still work there to be done. I wish there was never a need for an agency like an Urban Ministries in any community, because I think people have a hard time accepting charity when they're down and out, but that's their only option. And so they do come to places like ours, and we try to make it a good place. I love the volunteers that work with us and the people who come there every day because they're not paid to come, but they come out of the goodness of their own heart to help, and they sincerely want to help. And I love the clients that we serve because I know intrinsically they are such good people, and they really have a hard time. So anything that we've been able to do to help those folks has given me inspiration to get up every day and go to work.
Is there anything in one person or situation that sticks out for you when you look back, or is it a combination of all those things that you just mentioned?
One thing that does stick out is checking out at the grocery store, and I had my name badge on, and this young woman, whom I just assumed was a college student working there, said something to me about Urban Ministries, and I said, yes, that was where I worked. And she said, well, you know, I spent 6 months at your Helen Wright Center for Women. And she said, that was 3 years ago. And today I still have a job and I still have my place to live. And she said, I wouldn't be there without that. And I thought, even I fall prey to assumptions, you know, just assuming by the way a person looks that they are. She was a college student. But what that speaks to is the fact that most of us live among people who are homeless, have been homeless, have suffered terribly. We don't recognize those people because they look like you and me. And that's one of the other things that keeps me going. It's everybody's in this boat, and everybody could be in that situation. And they often don't have the support system they need. So we provide that support system. But that struck me because I thought, oh, I should know better than to make assumptions. And yet it was good to hear her.
I don't know how the community can ever thank you, but we really appreciate everything you've done, and I know we'll continue to do in your next phase. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And good job on this program. We need folks like you in the community.
Up next, how women are doing in our state. Stay with us.